street, ordered some food, and was now walking the rest of the way. He was in his 60s, with thinning salt and pepper hair parted on the side. It looked recently cut, with a bit of cowlick in the back. His suit was expensive and fit his portly frame with the touch of a tailored hand. A colorful pocket square adorned the front of his dark suit. He wore a lanyard around his neck, loaded with clearances sufficient to allow him access into the inner sanctums of the Hoover Building, with an escort along for the ride. His green eyes were alert. He walked with a determined swagger, his briefcase making pendulum arcs in the air. A woman was coming from the opposite direction. Anne Berkshire had taken the metro here. She was in her late 50s, petite, with gray hair cut in parentheses around her long oval face. As she approached the Hoover Building, she seemed to hesitate. There was no lanyard around her neck. The only ID she possessed was the driver's license in her purse. About 20 yards behind Dabney, Amos Decker trudged along alone. He was 6'5" and built like the football player he had once been. He'd been on a diet for several months now and had dropped a chunk of weight, but he could stand to lose quite a bit more. He was dressed in khaki pants, stained at the cuff, and a long, rumpled Ohio State Buckeyes pullover that concealed both his belly and the Glock 41 Gen 4 pistol riding in a belt holster on his waistband. Fully loaded with its standard 13-round mag, it weighed 36 ounces. His size 14 shoes hit the pavement with noisy splats. His hair was, to put it kindly, disheveled. Decker worked at the FBI on a joint task force. He was on his way to a meeting at the Hoover Building. He was not looking forward to it. He sensed that a change was coming, and Decker did not like change. He'd experienced enough of it in the last 2 years to last him a lifetime. He had just settled into a new routine with the FBI, and he wanted to keep it that way. Yet apparently, that was out of his control. He stepped around a barricade that had been set up on the sidewalk and that stretched partway into the street. A manhole cover surrounded by an orange web barrier had been opened, and workers were congregated around the area. One man in a hard hat emerged at the opening of the manhole and was passed a tool by another man. Most of the other workers stood around, some drinking coffee and others chatting. "Nice work if you can get it," thought Decker. He saw Dabney up ahead but didn't focus on him. Decker didn't see Berkshire because he wasn't looking that far up the street. He passed by the garage entrance and nodded at the uniformed FBI security officer in a small windowed guard shack situated on the sidewalk. The ramrod straight man nodded back, his eyes covered by sunglasses as his gaze dutifully swept the street. His right hand was perched on top of his holstered service weapon. Up ahead, Dabney was nearing the end of the block, where he would turn left. The FBI's business appointments entrance was located down there. Years ago, public tours were freely given, and people could view the famed FBI lab and watch special agents practicing their aim on the shooting range. In the modern era of terrorism, that was no more. After 9/11, the tours were canceled, but then restarted in 2008. The FBI had even put in an education center for visitors. But a request for a visit had to be filed at least a month ahead of time to allow the FBI to do a thorough background check. Most federal buildings were now simply fortresses, hard to get into and maybe harder to get out of. Dabney slowed as he approached the corner. Berkshire, by contrast, quickened her pace. Decker continued to lope along, his long strides eating up ground until he was only about 10 yards behind Dabney. Berkshire was about 5 yards on the other side of Dabney. Moments later, that distance was halved. A few clicks after that, they were barely 3 feet apart. Decker now saw Berkshire because she had drawn so close to Dabney. He was about 10 feet behind the pair when he started to make the turn, too. Berkshire glanced over at Dabney, seemingly noticing him for the first time. Dabney didn't look back at her, at least not initially. A few seconds later, he saw her gazing at him. He smiled, and if he'd been wearing a hat, he might have even doffed it to her in a show of courtesy. Berkshire didn't smile back. Her hand went to her purse clasp. Dabney slowed